This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
America, and to those listening outside of our borders, hey everybody, Kate Delaney. Hope everything's safe, sound, and secure. It sounds almost silly to say that, right? In your neck of the woods, so whatever nook or cranny, because boy, people are holding on tight now more than ever, and we certainly have dealt with in the last 3 or 4 months some horrific weather. And in all parts of the world, and especially in the Gulf Coast area. And then combine that with the fears over the Delta variant, schools, and the hassles over what's going to happen next. And the insanity of it all pushes many of us to the brink, right? Now it's the whole idea of, well, okay, the vaccine, is it potent? Does it lose its potency over time? What does the new analysis suggest? Moderna's research shows that those vaccinated later had fewer breakthrough cases. So you got it first, you got those shots first, you're excited, you had a better chance to have a breakthrough than the rest of us who got it later. And this is their data. They released it on Wednesday, a study that showed the lower risk of breakthrough infections happened in people who were vaccinated again most recently, the median 8 months after the first dose, than the people who were vaccinated last year. So 13 months after the first dose. Well, what does that say? To me, it says, oh, it must wear off, right? In their research, they highlighted that only 19 severe cases were observed, that there was a numerical trend toward a lower rate of severe cases in the groups, again, vaccinated more recently. And they insisted that the number of cases was low enough that the trend wasn't significant. So they're saying it wasn't. The research found that those who were vaccinated earlier or had a 50% higher rate of symptomatic breakthrough cases during the months of July and August compared to those who had gotten it later. So we get that. That's like round and round. They said that many, 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 many times. But in the end, what did the conclusion of this whole thing come to? Where does this end? So they had a statement along with all this data, the Moderna CEO insisting that the data supports the need for a booster shot, and they've requested authorization from the U.S. Food and Drug Administration for a third booster shot, which would be one half the dose of the existing vaccine. So that's where we're at with Moderna, saying, okay, this is what we found, and this is what we think has to happen. So while the conversation continues to be about COVID and the Delta variant and travel and what's being shut down and what's being open and, you know, again, where do we go from here? What's the fall going to look like? There has been a war on General Mark Milley and the secret calls to China. And what's happening with that is there's a push for a nonpartisan commission to investigate the allegations. And you look at Milley's background, and the question for some becomes, hey, did he violate his oath? There's calls for resignation. There's questions that are being asked about, okay, timelines and what was said to whom. And did he undermine the then president, of course, who was Donald Trump? So will we see that acting outside of the chain of command ends up coming back around to pull him out of the position that he's in now, Joint Chiefs of Staff. So did he violate the so-called Logan Act? What does it mean? What did he specifically say or what was his reach? What was his overreach? Not the titillating Washington conversation, but what really happened, right? He is a top U.S. military commander. And of course, he wouldn't have been authorized to have a secret call with his Chinese counterpart. I mean, it's like that movie, it was a Tom Clancy movie where, of course, that was happening. There was a spy versus spy kind of thing and off-the-record conversations. In the movies, it works, but in real life, it could be dangerous. It could be deadly. But, is there going to be a war, I think, on Milley? And I think there already is. So he's defending his calls to the Chinese, and he has the president's backing, but there is a push to, you know, get him to resign or to have this commission to investigate it. And was he undermining the president, like it or not? You know, was he undermining Trump? And I think that this isn't going away, right? If you look at the history of when things get ignited, especially with somebody high up in a military rank, a lot of times it ends badly. I can think of two generals who had their legs taken out because of some of what then started to come out and what was reported about something that they had done. So basically what's happening is he's defending the phone calls he made to his counterpart in the final months of the Donald Trump presidency, saying that the conversations were intended to convey reassurance to the Chinese military and were, in fact, in line with his responsibilities as chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. But there is such a pull. Did he overstep the authority or not? And when Biden was asked about it and was asked, would he fire him? Did he overstep his authority? He said, I have great confidence in General Milley. When he was asked by a reporter about that. It comes down to this, because what are the rules and what is the playbook that has to be followed? And what happens when you bend the playbook? And what happens when somebody's very high in rank? And what was said on those phone calls? This all goes back to something I talked about in a previous show, that book called Peril that was written by Washington Post journalists Bob Woodward and Robert Costa. And the book says Milley told General Lee of the People's Liberation Army that he would warn his counterpart in the event of a U.S. attack. So that if those words are true, okay, listen, if there's something goes off the rails and we're going to have some kind of attack, we're going to call you ahead of time. Like I said, it's not like a movie. It's not like a Tom Clancy movie. This would be a general at the highest level you can imagine making that kind of call and saying, I'm going to give you that kind of warning. And so my question to all of you is fair or foul? What do you think, America? Send me your thoughts. Kate@KateDelaneyRadio.com. Kate@KateDelaneyRadio.com. Hang with us.
What will you do if there's a sudden food shortage? Given recent headlines, it seems likely, and at any moment. That's why it makes common sense to build your emergency food storage supply now, while you still can. Do it with the kind of food that stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. Food that doesn't go bad like what you get at the grocery store. Whose food should you trust? The largest preparedness company in America, My Patriot Supply. We've served millions of American families going on 14 years. At MyPatriotSupply.com, our mission is your survival. Our emergency food could definitely be your lifesaver when the peanut butter hits the fan. Choose from dozens of delicious meal kits that provide over 2,000 calories a day, which is what your body needs. Order today, and your food will ship fast in unmarked boxes to protect your privacy. Don't wait. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com right now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Yes, the pandemic is coming to an end. Restrictions are coming to an end. But body aches and pains never seem to end. That's why you need to click sunny-bay.com for the best sleep you can get. Sunny Bay's legendary products can help, like our lavender stress-reducing products, locally sourced and handmade in the USA. Or try Sunny Bay's award-winning pillows for traveling or extra neck support while sleeping. No need for pills or expensive chiropractic visits. Our neck support pillows are that good. Sunny Bay is a homegrown small business, but our products are designed and rigorously tested based on your demand and feedback. And they make great gifts for mom, dad, or anyone. Find Sunny Bay products on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, or at sunny-bay.com. And right now, get free heat patches and a belt with any purchase. So remember, Sunny Bay heating pads, neck pillows, and stress-relieving hot or cold wraps. As restrictions come to an end and you get back to work, do it the healthy way with Sunny Bay.
Brought to you by Bank of America. A recent Bank of America survey found 61% of college students practice saving. However, just 45% create and stick to a budget. Budgeting is a critical lifelong skill and allows you to save strategically. Aaron McCullen, Head of Deposit Products at Bank of America.
As a college student, it's all too easy to overspend and bust your budget. Every dollar counts when purchasing textbooks, restocking the fridge, or catching up with friends over dinner. When you head back to campus and activities ramp up, creating or updating your budget is critical. Also look for ways to start saving for the future, even if it's a small amount. Automatic saving tools like Bank of America's Keep the Change make it easy to incorporate savings into everyday college life.
Keep the Change rounds purchases made with a Bank of America debit card to the nearest dollar and transfers the change to a savings account. Learn more at bankofamerica.com/students.
As we continue with Small Business Week here in the United States, really pleased to welcome to the show Enrique Ortegon. He is the Senior Vice President of Small and Medium Business at Salesforce. His focus is on helping small and medium-sized businesses grow using CRM technology that scales with their business. And Salesforce is getting ready to release the fifth edition of the Small and Medium Business Trends Report that includes insights from over 2,500 small and medium business owners and leaders worldwide. You know, you think about where we are in the pandemic, more than a year into the pandemic, and so many businesses have faced major, have faced major shifts and economic upheaval, as well as new customer and employee expectations as well. So we're anxious to talk to Enrique. Enrique, thanks so much for coming on. And I guess we'll start with government and community support and how has that affected small and medium businesses?
Yeah, absolutely. Kate, as you said, it's a Small Business Week here in the United States, and it's very important that we take this time to recognize and to celebrate our small and medium businesses. I think they're the foundation of our economy. They're the fabric of our society. And as you said, listen, the last 18 months have been very tough on all of us, including the small and medium businesses. And so this time, I've been so impressed by their creativity, their innovation, their resilience, their resourcefulness. And, you know, we went out into the world and we asked more than 2,500 small and medium businesses around the world. It's the fifth time we do this, to try to understand, you know, how are the small and medium businesses adapting, changing, and finding ways to succeed and thrive even in these challenging times. And there's a couple things that we found out that I'd like to share with you. One is that, you know, 71% of the growing small and medium businesses said they succeeded, they survived the pandemic by going digital, which is just, to me, just amazing, right? On top of that, you know, according to data from the Census Bureau, there are more than 4.4 million new businesses that were founded during this time. So it's just a very impressive statistic to see how SMBs, small and medium businesses, are continuing to adapt and find success in this new world. Now, as you mentioned, government and community are very important. right? They are a part, very important part of our economy. They're a very important part of our society. And when we went and asked them, how does government support, how does community support, how has it played a role in their success and in their survival? 69% of small and medium business leaders said government support has been very important, and 67% have said that community support is very important. More than one in 10 said it's critical. They would not be around if it wasn't because of the government and community support. And that's why I just want to emphasize, in this such an important week, as Small Business Week in the United States, so important we go out there, we support our small and medium businesses, we shop small, we consume small, we use services from small providers, so we can continue to foster this growth and success of these entrepreneurs and these owners.
Yeah, wow, I so agree with that. What about when we look at small and medium businesses? What are they doing to really, gain, keep, and deepen the trust with customers and employees?
Thank you for that question. There's a few things that are going on. First and foremost, they're prioritizing customers and employees. We've known that it's very important. Customers, we want to have this alternative. They've gone digital. They've established e-commerce channels. They've given contactless options. And they're giving customers the option to interact with them either in a digital environment or in an in-person environment. And they've paid a lot of attention to this. But also they're realizing their employees also want to have a different type of engagement. And they're rebuilding the trust with their employees by allowing them to have a different work arrangement, be it flexible and remote work engagements or work schedules, and also giving them the tools to collaborate and to communicate digitally and more flexibly so they can be productive outside of the office. If they don't want to come to the office, they don't want to come to the shop. So what this has turned is an acceleration of digitalization in the small and medium business world, right? Now businesses are investing faster and more than ever in digital tools, which also is leading them to think more about how they think about and how they focus on security. So they're taking action to secure company data, customer information, thinking really hard about cybersecurity and implementing tools like two-factor authentication, backing up their data in the cloud, managing passwords, etc. And the fourth thing I will say, which is really fascinating, is the small and medium businesses are incorporating a scenario planning into their management. So this means they understand uncertainty, crisis, hard times, all of these are not new to small and medium business leaders. They're used to it. But what they're seeing is the world is going to continue to change faster and in more unpredictable ways than ever. So 77% of the growing SMBs that we interviewed are creating a scenario planning practices, even within their small, shops, their small companies, because they know whatever happens, they have to be ready. And they're trying to understand what are the things that they need to do to be successful, regardless of what the future throws at them.
Yeah. Listening to the things that you've talked about, especially what technology has done, how that's helped small and medium businesses survive, talking about what's happening with flexible hours and remote work and all of that, and what's happening with consumers as well. Do you feel pretty optimistic about small and medium businesses, Enrique?
I've never been more optimistic. Listen, I think the changes, details here to say, right? As I said, 71% said they survived because, they went digital. 75% said the changes they did in the past are going to help them in the long term. And they continue investing in things like, how they communicate with their customers, right? How do they reach out to them? They're continuing to invest in online channels and e-commerce, right? And they continue investing in productivity in remote and flexible productivity tools. So as long as businesses have always been resilient, they're around 99.9% of the businesses in this country are small and medium businesses. 47% of the people that are employed in this country are employed by a small or medium business. And based on everything that I've seen, again, 4.4 million new businesses created just in the last year alone, I've never been so optimistic. Having said that, I want to say this week in particular, always, but this week in particular, go out there, support your favorite small business, go to your coffee shop, your bakery, your favorite laundromat, whatever it is. If you look this small, go out there, consume it, use it, support small and medium businesses, please.
Yeah, well said. Enrique Ortegon, the Senior Vice President of Small, Medium Business at Salesforce. Thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you, Kate. Such a pleasure. Have a great week.
You too. So it's interesting. I agree with Enrique. It's just an awareness. You know, you slap things on days as it's this day, it's that day, it's this week. But small businesses now more than ever need you to support them because you look at, gosh, some of the things that are happening, the labor shortage, even after the expanded unemployment was cut, there are so many companies that are looking for workers. So they're upping the ante, too, on what they're paying. I mean, Amazon, Jeff Bezos, it just seemingly he just controls the whole pie. Everywhere I look, I see Amazon trucks, and their roles in fulfillment and transportation have an average starting wage of more than 18, and certain locations, because they don't have enough people either, will have bonuses of like $3,000. And this all goes to supply chain and getting things that you get there from Amazon versus from some of the other places that you order. And they've got a monopoly, I think, on that, and they need to have the workers, so that's why they're upping the money that they're offering. And you know, you look at the $3.5 trillion budget, right? And there are a lot of business groups that don't want to see corporate taxes be raised to pay the bill, to foot the bill for that, because some industries are saying, listen, you think we're the fat cats and we're counting the bills, but we're trying to keep people in jobs because we're wrestling with problems with supply chain, with not enough workers, with trying to up that and still maintain what we're able to do. So it is a Rubik's Cube of what is happening to business in the U.S., and other places, thanks to the pandemic. I mean, U.S. consumer prices rose lower than expected, 0.3% last month, and that is hopeful. Like he was saying, that he felt optimistic. I still feel optimistic, too. And that is a hopeful sign, by the way, that inflation pressure could be cooling off, and that will end some of the burden, right, if that's the case. As you look at inflation and you look at analyzing that, are we at risk, as somebody said to me today in a conversation, of stagflation with prices rising and growth slowing? We don't want to see that, that's for sure, as we try to recover from COVID and get through the Delta variant. Thanks for hanging with us. I'll meet you on the flip side.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNhemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNhemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MechTech Carbine Upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News with Dan Naraki.
For the first time, an all-civilian crew has been launched into orbit. SpaceX's Inspiration 4 mission lifted off from Kennedy Space Center Wednesday night, sending the four-person crew into space and on a track to reach an orbit 360 miles above the surface of the Earth. If they reach that altitude, it would be the highest since the Gemini 10 and 11 missions in 1966. The crew is scheduled to spend 3 days in space before splashing down Sunday in the Atlantic Ocean. And President Joe Biden announced a new security partnership Wednesday seeking to serve as a bulwark against Chinese expansion and influence in the Indo-Pacific region. Joined by UK Prime Minister Boris Johnson and Australian Prime Minister Scott Morrison, Biden said that the agreement will ensure that the three partners have the capability to deal with rapidly evolving threats. The president said that as part of this partnership, the U.S. would help Australia acquire nuclear-powered submarines, including sharing the technology to help in that pursuit. This is USA Radio News. The North Korean military is test-firing missiles again. Lance Pry has the details.
South Korea's military is reporting North Korea fired two more ballistic missiles into the sea from its east coast on Wednesday. The launch further escalates tensions in the region 2 days after Pyongyang claimed to have fired a new long-range cruise missile that is being described as a strategic weapon of great significance. Japan's prime minister and South Korea's president said they were convening sessions of their National Security Council to discuss Pyongyang's actions. From the West Coast USA Radio News Bureau, I'm Lance Pry.
And Border Patrol agents on the southern border encountered more than 208,000 illegal migrants in the month of August, a slight drop from a 21-year high in July. But it was still the second straight month that more than 200,000 migrants were stopped by agents. Many were quickly returned to Mexico under Trump-era rules implemented to control the spread of COVID, but unaccompanied minors are not being turned away. Nearly 19,000 were taken into custody last month. This is USA Radio News.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork. You know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best, deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-985-1610. 800-985-1610. 800-985-1610. That's 800-985-1610.
In the headlines. Yeah, there are headlines still because newspapers, while the physical subscriptions in many cases might be down, people are still reading them through the miracle of the World Wide Web. And of course, the subscription price. So the New York Times leads with Gavin Newsom beating the recall and says the headline, now comes the hard part, governing California. And they talk about, yeah, he's victorious from this attempt to oust him, and the recall was rejected by a 2-to-1 margin, roughly, but he's got multiple crises to deal with, or crises to deal with. That's the word I was looking for. 90% of the state is in extreme drought. That's crazy. The median home price, the New York Times talks about this, eclipsed $800,000. And, oh, to boot, thousands are homeless. And, oh, yeah, there's this COVID Delta variant that we're all dealing with, that they're dealing with in California, too. So there's a lot going on in California, just like every other place. This, again, is from the New York Times. They've got a headline that says, FDA publishes first analysis of the Pfizer booster shot application. Okay, we want to know what that is. And this analysis is now coming, the article talks about, in the middle of the disagreement about the needs for boosters between career scientists and top health officials, because it's all about, right, the economy, silly, and what is it doing? You know, what's happening? So the analysis actually was pretty interesting, and I think it was smart, of course, for the gray lady to put this in the top headlines. There was a 23-page document that reviewed the company's application.
the regulators examined safety, immune response data. So for people who wonder about the data, on roughly 300 adults who got a booster shot of Pfizer's BioNTech's vax 6 months after their second dose, so again, 6 months after, they found an increased immune response in the study as far as the participants, even as they said that the coronavirus vaccines were holding up powerfully against severe forms of COVID-19. So there was no safety concerns. They reported they didn't have any problems with that. And they argued in their filing that the ebbing of the vaccine's potency was the dominant reason for breakthrough infections among vaccinated people in Israel, which has relied almost exclusively on the Pfizer vaccine and has vaccinated its population faster than the United States. So they're looking at what happened in Israel. So the analysis suggests that regulators are cautiously weighing studies from Israel, which the Biden administration has said is key to their decision to recommend starting a booster campaign this month. So still in September, Israel is already doing booster shots to most of its population. So there you go. And there's all kinds of data mixed in there in this report that I just mentioned. So that was heavily featured in the New York Times. All right, let's go to something else. So we move to another part of the country, and it's so interesting. The San Francisco Chronicle, so now we're on the left coast. They, of course, have the whole Gavin Newsom thing, but that's not as high in the virtual fold as it was for the New York Times. That's a little bit further down. I think they probably feel like, yeah, we've already talked about this. Been there, done it. Let's talk about other things like air quality. So one of the things that they did talk about is that San Francisco is the only county where Larry Elder isn't leading the recall replacement vote. So they talked about heading into the recall, what was going on with the numbers, and then the results. Then, of course, there was the results. It wasn't like they completely ignored it. They said he survived and everything. But they specifically, because this is San Francisco, they specifically showed how California voted county by county. And there were some interesting opinion pieces, like how the Republicans blew their opportunity to recall Gavin Newsom. And so Joe Garofoli talked about that. And some of that was in relationship to what Larry Elder was saying about women and things that were dug up from his talk radio career, and also not enough emphasis on what Gavin Newsom was not doing. I mean, there was the obvious things that are on the table that I think I mentioned when I looked at the headlines from the New York Times, but there were other areas that the Republicans could have gone after, and he says they didn't, and that they should have done that, and perhaps that would have led to a different result. But it just seems like once the women comments came out, the Democratic women really voted in droves, went out and weighed in on the whole recall thing. So that definitely added to it. That definitely was, part of it. Then there's a sad story, and it's really in the top of the Chronicle, about a man dying after being pulled into the ocean near Santa Cruz. Santa Cruz is a really big surf area. Occasionally people will talk about great whites or sharks, and I used to live in California and spent a little bit of time in Santa Cruz. I like Santa Cruz. It's kind of, I don't know that you would call it quaint, but to me it was quaint because of the smaller beach. They had an old-fashioned carousel on a boardwalk right there. It is a very interesting area. But you do have the Pacific Ocean that can have wild white waves sometimes, and rogue waves and that kind of thing, and of course the currents. And so sadly, very sad that he was pulled in, and there's rocks in some of the areas, so that makes it really difficult too when you look at some of the rocky areas on that Santa Cruz, the edge of the Santa Cruz beach. So too bad. So sorry to hear that. Too bad for the family of the victim there. So let's go back east again and look at the Boston Herald. Again, newspapers, some of them are making it because people are doing the, buying the buying the editions, the e-editions, if you will, that they can just read. They're subscribing that way. And some people still are getting the actual print copies delivered. I think it's interesting. I walk around my neighborhood with a dog to see how many print editions of the city newspaper are out, and it's really, really only a handful. But it doesn't mean that they're not subscribing on the virtual front, so to speak. So in Boston, really nothing about Newsom. That's just way, way down. That's not local. I mean, it is there, but it's buried. They're talking instead about an ex-rep, David Nengel, who was sentenced to 15 years in federal prison on corruption charges and 2 years supervised released on federal corruption charges at a Wednesday hearing. So they talk a lot about him. And, of course, again, this is politics. There's a lot of politics in Boston. And what happened in this case, I guess, Nengel had a gambling addiction, and that was at part of what the illegal acts were. That was at the heart of it. So there were a lot of letters, relatives, friends, some of his constituents that, you know, threw in support for him, that he was a kind, caring man and all of that. Federal prosecutors had asked for 18 months in prison, so he was sentenced to 15, and then the 2 years supervised, like I said. So we got a couple of those months knocked off. And he said, at one point, stood up and said, "Your Honor," or his lawyer did, "Your Honor, his actions have brought him before you. They're serious. He's taking responsibility for them, but they don't define the person that he is. They certainly are now part of the definition, but the good that has been in his life for 60 years, the good that he has brought into the lives of countless others over that time is certainly a much greater part of the person you have before you." Well, see, there is this problem, though, when you break the law and when people put their trust in you and you rip them off and you're a politician, it doesn't work. So corruption charges got the better of this ex-rep representative. And then the other thing they're talking about in Boston is the mayoral primary, who's the top vote getter in this preliminary. The mayoral preliminary is what they call it actually there. And Michelle Wu is the top vote getter there in that hot race, so we'll see. And then there is also just tons of political stuff. Then there is a mention of AOC launching a tax the rich political merchandise off of her Met Gala controversial dress. She wore a white designer dress that had in giant red letters, "Tax the Rich." And of course she was with the rich and the famous and the beautiful, because that's what the Met Gala is all about, right? And that's it. All right, and then there was one other interesting thing. Politics, celebrities. Did I say politics? That's Boston. Anything you pick up in Boston, politics. The other thing that was an interesting headline is Lori Loughlin granted permission to head to Canada to rekindle career. So when you get busted for trying to bribe a college to get your daughters on the rowing team, when they really weren't on the rowing team, and you do your time, the good news is, oh, Canada, you will embrace our actresses. So apparently she can find some work there. So she was granted the permission. And I don't think she's going to show up on the Hallmark Channel anytime soon. But, there is going north. It's funny because so many Canadian actors, come to the United States for big opportunities. But again, it's not about the money. I think it's about the work. It's about wanting to work. So that's why she was able to do that, and the judge actually granted that. All right, so let's look at some of the headlines. We'll do this every once in a while, and we're going to look at some smaller papers, and we're going to look at papers where many of our listeners are, and some of our listeners are actually in those areas. So hang with us. Much more coming your way next.
DrinkSuperTea.com. Pouty Arco Tea helps regenerate new cells. Everything from the cells in our skin to the cells in our organs, so they function properly. Great for healthy people and can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a disease. A 1-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.
Do you feel like you're doing what you were made for? Do you love what you do? Do you feel inspired or at least pretty happy most days? In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big and Become Extraordinary, I share the secrets that rock stars share with me from the business world, people like Sir Richard Branson, or sports hall of famers like former Cowboy great Emmitt Smith. All of them had one thing in common. They paid attention to their gut, followed their dreams, and didn't listen to the critics. George Eliot says it's never too late to be who you might have been. Pick up a copy of Deal Your Own Destiny on Amazon today.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Joins us. She's in our virtual green room. Her book is called The Innocent Eyes of a Child. Treya, thanks so much for coming on.
Well, thank you for having me.
So let's talk about what led you to write this book. Why'd you write the book?
Well, I decided to share my experiences because I went through a lot of experiences in foster care. I was taken away at 5 years old, and I ended up growing up in the foster care system. So I moved around a lot from home to home, and I wanted to share my story to inspire people, to inspire other foster kids that you're not alone in this this dysfunction. And as I moved from home to home, I kept like a journal of each home I went to, and I just decided that I wanted to share those experiences with other foster kids. And again, just because I wanted them not to feel so alone, and that you can get through the foster care system in one piece, and then you can go to college, and you can definitely inspire other people.
Yeah, so, you know, the foster care system, too, there is so, especially now, it's just so overwhelmed, right? So what do you think, in the experiences that you had, I think it's wonderful that you've written this book that so many in the system could use because of how they're feeling and what you went through. What do you think needs to be done as somebody who's gone through the system that could make it better?
What I think could be done is for one, I think a lot of policies need to be changed. I think that the government has to involve everyone, all the parties involved, and call upon formal foster kids and get our opinions and stuff like that and what we went through, use our experiences, and then also get the local community involved as well, you know, so that we can come together and come up with a plan and the strategies to help foster kids. And we have to tell the truth. One of the things that we have to do is tell the truth. We can't keep sugarcoating it and saying, well, it wasn't that bad. But then it does impact us as we become adults.
Yeah, so for you, how did you turn that around? Because you dealt with physical abuse and abandonment and all that sort of stuff as we talked off the air. And again, your book, so we're speaking with Treya Jackson. The book is The Innocent Eyes of a Child, Everyone's Little Girl, But Nobody's Child. What, you know, what, that's specifically, you want to make sure you have that when you look it up. What, you know, what helped you to get through this? How did you turn that corner?
Well, let me just say that when I first entered the foster care system, there was little explaining done to me. Like many kids are just kind of thrown in. I actually suffered a mental breakdown, and I was suffering from post-traumatic stress disorder, and I didn't know it. So I started to withdraw from the world, and my foster parents did not realize it. They were busy with their own lives, and I was just there. I just existed. And I would walk around in this home. I was on a farm. I was there for 4 years, and I thought I was being rescued, but then I started to become a victim of abuse in the foster care system of my foster father, and he would manipulate me, and he would emotionally and physically abuse me, and so I found an escape by walking around with the dogs, and eventually I started to write. I would write little stories. I would draw stories, and they were always fantasy stories of me finding loving parents. Eventually, I started to write more realistic ones. By age 8, 9, 10, I started to write what was really going on in my life, which was much different than my fantasy stories. And so then that's when I started to use my writing. And I also used music. There was music from artists. I love to study the words that were to the lyrics and everything, you know, the lyrics to the songs. And I was, that helped me through. There was a lot of music listening and also movies just inspiring me to go further. And there was times where I wanted to give up. There was times where I just really, I felt this was it. I was not going to make it. And in my book, I didn't talk about it, the times of despair. And there's no reason why a 9- and 10-year-old should be in so much despair that they are considering just ending it all. I just thought at one point I didn't belong in this world. I just thought that I just maybe was from another planet, and I was dropped off here by accident. But I used my writing and my poetry, everything I drew from my emotional experiences that I had to survive. There was a reason why. There was still a part of me that even by 13, 14, that maybe I'll find a home. But that didn't happen. So then I started to prepare for that I wasn't going to be a foster kid at some point. And then I can go out and inspire other people and help other kids through the foster care system. And hopefully things will get better. You know, over the years I have just watched. I've watched the foster care systems in all different states, and I'm just like, oh, wow, I went through that. Wait a minute. Things are not getting much better. So now it's time for me to, write the book, and there are 6 books in that book series. And then I was initiating a movement for change, so that everyone can come together and we can make the lives of foster kids who are in the system, make sure it's a safe place for them to be.
Yeah, boy, and I think that movement is so, so necessary because we hear these stories over and over again here on the show with so many people, sadly, Trey, that I talk to. And again, the book is The Innocent Eyes of a Child, Everyone's Little Girl, But Nobody's Child. And for you, you went on to get a master's degree from Roosevelt University. You're a social worker. Life is different, right?
Very different, very different. And since I get to serve the community in which I live, and I do meet foster kids and foster parents all the time. Of course, I met them in the office before COVID, but now it's just on the phone. I'm working from home, so it's but I get to help people, and I get to help them in another way. So I like helping people. That is always been my avenue of just writing was like helping people. And then now I get to serve, service the community that I work in. And it's just a wonderful feeling that you can give back in that way.
Yeah, boy, no kidding. And you absolutely are a giving person. And I know that you've got something else happening on the back burner. You've got another book coming up. The next book, or you have another book that's coming out about your son, right?
Yes, it's about my son, Michael. And that is coming out in December. And it's my son had muscular dystrophy, Duchenne's muscular dystrophy. He was diagnosed at 3 years old, and it just talks about his fight and battle with it. And unfortunately, he lost his battle in 2014. Mm. But again, the story is inspiring, and it it talks about his attitude during it. It was just like he was an amazing little boy, and I know all parents think their kids are amazing, but he was amazing because he never complained. Michael never complained. And he was just always had a smile on his face, and he was so inspiring. But again, the book does touch on foster care because my kids realized that, well, where's grandma? Where's grandpa? You know? And then they, of course, were told that I was a foster kid. And there's a little bit of foster care in there. I guess you can't take that out of a person even as they grow up.
Yeah, so it's what they learn through your eyes, through what happened, and then them realizing that, and et cetera. I mean, it's such a powerful, you know, your book, whether you're talking about the foster care system, what happened to you, writing that down. I don't know of any other books like that. They're very clinical, and yours is a living, breathing testament to what happens, what it's about. And I hope so many kids in the foster care system have that access eventually to your book, and that a lot of people in the state government or even federally are able to become a part of what I think should be a very, very big movement to affect change. And I think you're that bright light, Treya.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you.
Yeah, and it all starts with a book. So go to Amazon, pick up Treya Jackson's book, and look forward to the next book, and who knows what's going to come after that. But thank you so much for sharing your story.
Well, thank you for having me.
And thanks to all of you for listening to this version of the show. Make it count, everybody. Do you feel like you're doing what you were made for? Do you love what you do? Do you feel inspired or at least pretty happy most days? In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big and Become Extraordinary, I share the secrets that rock stars shared with me from the business world, people like Sir Richard Branson, or sports hall of famers like former Cowboy great Emmitt Smith. All of them had one thing in common. They paid attention to their gut, followed their dreams, and didn't listen to the critics. George Eliot says it's never too late to be who you might have been. Pick up a copy of Deal Your Own Destiny on Amazon today.
DrinkSuperTea.com. Powdy Arco Tea builds red corpuscles in our blood, which carries oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate. Our immune system needs oxygen to develop. And cancer dies in oxygen. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.